great. Now I have hepatitis.
What do you mean, now you have hepatitis?
Past tense.
So anyways, yeah, hepatitis and Mario 3. Those are my favorite video game memories. Because you know why? They'll both always be with me.
Welcome to the first episode of the Randomly Generated Podcast, brought to you by Three Hearts Entertainment. I'm already fucking up our intros, so this is going to be
roll
a long ride, I think.
You're not getting that one cut.
Good.
I want to listen. Keep going.
Good. We're going to keep it like that.
I want to listen to Plodcast.
Plodcast. It's July 28th, 2013. We're coming to you from the Blanket Fort at Dominic's apartment. Just a quick little mention of a couple people. If you're listening to the show and you're in the Ohio area, you should definitely check out Stickman Video Games in Richland County, Shelby, Ohio. And if you're following the show, I'm sorry, Charlie's like being a duck or something. So if you're following the show and you're a fan of anime and manga, definitely check out ShonenBeam.com and the Beamcast. These guys are fantastic. They're very, very knowledgeable with what they do. And now I'm going to let Matt speak because Matt's here, Dominic's here, Charlie's here. So, Matt,
hello.
How are you?
All doing well. How are you guys?
I've been better.
Yeah, it's okay.
Been better. Aw. Are you butthurt?
No.
Good.
I'm just sad I have to sit here with all you guys.
Oh, fuck you.
I'm not even getting paid for it.
All right,
I know.
So,
oh, God.
We're definitely not getting paid for this. We're here to bring you a small amount of video game news and an open discussion on a bi-weekly basis. So you have a knowledge of other people's – I dropped my pen cap and now I'm distracted by that. So you have a knowledge of other people's opinions about the world of gaming. We're not here to shit on or defecate or anything like that, but –
those being the same things.
Those being the exact same things. We just choose our poop words wisely.
I feel like I shouldn't have bought you that thesaurus for Christmas. Because now you're just trying to sound... You're trying to smartify your...
Trying to smartify my swearing.
Language choices.
So, slightly disillusioned by this, but Phil Fish, developer of Fez, or the creator of Fez, definitely pulled his cards off the table yesterday.
Yeah.
Canceled Fez 2, got a little angry and said he was done with video games. So
even like he was like, I don't know if this was meant to be sarcastic, but he had a bunch of tweets saying like, oh, I'm just going to take my money and go, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's what you want. Or yep. Like this weird. I mean, and it's hard.
Yep. He said he was tired of the abuse from the video game community.
Part of that abuse is self. It's like self-generated, though.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's entirely self-inflicted, yeah. But.
But I don't know the guy. I don't know what it's like
right.
to produce a game. So
right.
I can't really say for sure, but dude seems to like create a lot of his own enemies and problems.
Yeah.
He's going to need money and go back to make it.
Oh, that's, I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it eventually.
Butt heel. It'll
yeah,
be
yeah.
out.
Exactly.
Do you think it's kind of like the equivalent of like the kid who just like takes his toys home? He's like, fine, I'm going to go play by myself. Like, and then he'll come back tomorrow.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get the update on like Wednesday that Fez 2 is a go and will be out sooner than Pikmin 4, which is an entire. I just made Dominic do a spick take, which is an entire different topic in and of itself. Pikmin 2 is actually or Pikmin 4. Pikmin 2 has been out for a while.
Pikmin
4
2
is
actually
Pikmin
came out.
3, I think. Where yeah. the hell are we at?
Did we jump a console generation?
Is it Pikmin 3?
Yeah, it's 3.
Yeah,
oh,
it is 3.
Okay. Well, Pikmin 3 is finally
that long
coming
to get
out.
Released.
Yes, Pikmin 4 is already coming.
Yeah, it's already out before.
And Fez 2, apparently, but
some alternate reality.
They just jumped straight over it. We
what do we got? It's it is July 28th, so yeah, we've got
a week,
less than a week.
Well, a week from Tuesday, correct?
Yeah.
Excited.
Launch window, a year later almost. Sony announced that indie developers are going to be able to use 70% of the RAM on the console.
I don't know how true that statement
right,
is. I don't think Sony knows right now.
Even still, with that being said, I I've never developed a game, so I don't know like how much RAM they actually need to use. But I'm pretty sure that's going to be enough RAM to run Fez and Monaco and Torchlight.
Yeah, well,
and
I think they're like really making a bigger deal of this than what needs to be made. Half the next generation experience is going to be the online, the multitasking, all that stuff, and that requires RAM. So unless you want to have the YouTube app that's on the Wii right now, be happy with them using a little bit more RAM for their OS.
We tried to watch a video on that prior to the podcast.
That didn't work.
I stress tried.
Yeah, it stumbled just a bit.
It refreshed. Like, it reset itself and then kept...
It was working. It was like, no.
Yeah.
Got moody.
Super Mario Brothers Dream Team? Is that what... Am I right on that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mario Dream Team comes out for
the... Mario and Luigi Dream Team.
Mario and Luigi Dream Team for the 3DS. That comes out shortly after Pikmin 3, not 4.
Pikmin 3 comes out on the 4th. Maybe that's where you're confused.
It's a possibility. I just don't think I can read, and I never played Pikmin, so...
So you should trust us.
You should totally listen to everything I can say.
I play Pikmin. I played both of them. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah? Mm-hmm. You're going to play the third one?
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Sometime gotta play something on the Wii U.
Yeah, right? It's like, I gotta do something with my Wii U other than Netflix.
It'll be the highest selling Nintendo game of, like, the last 5 years.
Or, like, quarter 3 or something.
I don't know about you guys, but my Wii... It's just, like, a fantastic Netflix machine. It's got a nice touchscreen interface.
Is it because the streaming's so wonderful on it?
It's better. See, it's such bullshit. Like, the YouTube app, like, does not work.
It's completely broken.
At all.
Completely broken for the four of you out there that own a Wii U.
Yeah.
You know this.
So the
me and Dom being two of them.
Yeah, Dominic and I counted five people we know that have one.
Yeah, so those other three people out there that own Wii U's, yeah, you know. Netflix works fine. Once in a while, there's a couple like load things, like an episode of something will pause, but it'll only take a second, and it'll get right back to your episode. But the YouTube app does not work at all.
Also, Microsoft finally announced that they were going to allow indie developers to self-publish.
I love how they're adding these features that should have been there from the start as a revolutionary new feature for their console, so you want to go out there and buy an Xbone.
At this point, what are they... I mean...
They have no fucking clue what's going on.
They've backed up on everything that they've said.
Like, are they going to make the console out of wood chips? That's going to be the new backtrack. There's like a green thing going on. We should make this out of wood, right?
Just like kidding to every audience imaginable. Like, oh, you want this? We'll just throw it on the Xbox.
I think they should just slap wood grain.
Yeah, it's really what it is.
Just slap wood grain on the actual console, and it looks like a 2600.
Oh, the limited edition.
I had it on my original Xbox, the wood grain faceplate.
Yeah,
spent $20 on that.
Microsoft kept that when I had to send mine back when it red ringed.
They did to
they
me, too.
They kept my faceplate and then sent me back a white one.
They are weird. Bitches.
Terrible. Did you hear the mic input on the controller is completely different, so you have to go buy yourself a brand new pair of Turtle Beaches?
They said that they were going to sell an adapter.
Oh, great.
I saw that earlier.
So they're now Apple.
Yeah, pretty much.
So they're now... There's a dongle for that.
There's a dongle for that. Okay, so actually really big news, and I'm not sure, did this happen yesterday or today, Matt?
This posted, I believe, online just as in the last couple days. What's interesting is the New York Times quoted this in their financial section, like the business section. More or less, Activision is its own independent company now, kind of like how Bungie rescinded themselves from Microsoft and Harmonix took themselves away from EA. They kind of bought their own sovereignty, their own rights. What's interesting is they essentially, I think it was an $8.2 billion transaction.
Yep. Investor buyout.
Yeah, and what happens is interesting. Like Vivendi, who used to like have all the kind of Activision and Half-Life rights, if you will, is still owning 12% of the company. So it's like we're giving you the rights to the car, but you can't own it, more or less.
Activision does a lot of good things. I mean,
they do. I think the bigger thing there, at least to me,
the most hated company.
The bigger thing there is that includes Blizzard. So we won't have to. At least for those of us who do enjoy the Worlds of Warcraft and the Diablos and whatnot,
much fewer of you now.
There are much fewer of us now.
They need to reboot something.
What did they drop to? Was it like 8 million?
No. I don't know. I haven't looked at those numbers. I mean,
it's still relatively recent after Mists of Pandaria.
They just announced a big drop off. I think.
Right.
I think
they did free server transfers recently too, and that's never really been a great sign as far as MMOs are concerned.
I think the number is.
I want to say 12.
Is
it like 10 or even lower?
That was when they were at their peak, but they're down.
I can see 8.
I think
then
it's
being
like
reasonable.
6, 7, 8. It's somewhere in that number.
Wow.
A million subscribers.
It's a little bit more than Xbox Live.
And they just will not go free to play.
All right, here we go. I found a number. There's too many zeros to count right away.
Look for the one at the beginning.
Trust us, I swear.
It has shrunk to 7.7 million users, down from 8.3 million users in the last quarter.
Yeah, wow. Which was down from...
That's huge.
That's again, one quarter. It was in the tens.
I mean, I know I haven't played in probably 3 months. I uninstalled and everything, so I'm
14%
biting my skin off waiting for Final Fantasy 14. So, but
good for you.
Okay, so I know there's plenty of things we didn't mention that happened this past week, but
I mean that's those are the most noteworthy.
Yeah,
ones.
Those are pretty much the more noteworthy. And next couple between now and the next podcast, Payday 2 will have been out.
I'm excited for that.
It's going console as well. I mean, the first one was really rad. It's a bank heist first-person shooter.
Very Left 4 Dead.
You know, I recommend checking it out if you've got a couple extra bucks to spend on Steam.
Do zombies have much money in banks?
They all the rights. I mean, World War Z, well, all that stuff. They get a cut.
My favorite's when I say a joke and it takes Zach a full second.
registering.
buffering. Oh, that's funny. Pikmin 3 will be out August 4th, and Mario Dream Team, I believe shortly after that. Yeah, August 11th. So that's pretty much the most notable things coming out until late August. So
it's amazing how many great games have been released for the 3DS and recent months. I mean, if they did that
and
with the Wii U.
And how many great games were released for the Wii U?
That's actually a good comparison because, I mean, the 3DS was floundering came out. And one of the complaints was, like, it's a couple things, but one of the complaints was the game library.
Right.
And look how incredible it is now.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, we can, you know, poke fun and make fun of the Wii U right now. But, I mean, and I hate to say give it more time, but it took the 3DS... A year or so.
Yeah,
to get
like sure. And I owned one then.
Yeah. And we're getting up to that point with the Wii U, and there are a decent number of games coming out. I mean, for every Pikmin 3, there's a Sonic Lost World, so it's like, but there's...
Nintendo will create enough exclusive titles that are worth playing to make owning a Wii U acceptable. Right now, not so much.
Even though they finally have the third-party support, it's still, you get a Nintendo system for Nintendo games.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew that going into that. And you should know that by now, because, I mean, look at the GameCube and 64.
Yeah.
Who played third-party games on those?
Yeah, I mean, I have Arkham City, but, I mean, frame rate shit.
Yeah.
Gamepad stuff doesn't matter
at all.
It's no. I mean, if you haven't played it and you want to play it and you want to brush the dust off your Wii U, sure, get it.
Yeah. Say Deus Ex, the most recent Deus Ex game has that director's mode, right? Where it has like all the boss battles differently.
Yep.
I own Injustice for the Wii U. Great. I will say this. I like it for the Wii U because the D-pad's actually usable, unlike the other two systems.
Yeah.
But
can you use the Pro Controller?
Yes.
Okay, see, that's, again, I would want a game that I could use the Pro Controller for the Wii U.
Right. Okay, so those are the upcoming releases. We're going to do something a little bit fun for everybody. Going to go around and kind of meet the team, introduce all of you guys to all of us, and in the best way we know how, by giving you our top five video games of all time. Now, this is personally, these are opinions. They're not meant to be, you know, set in stone. Well, Dominic may think his is the Bible, but
none of mine are opinion based.
facts. All facts.
It's all facts.
Proven.
And they're all Zelda.
And I mean, we're only picking five. I'm sure all four of us could sit here and go all day about what games we absolutely just loved. But, you know, these are kind of the ones that I feel like, you know, may have changed the way some of us look at certain games, may have, you know, changed the way we game in general. So
some of mine aren't necessarily what I would say is like a top game of all time. It's more of a, I played this. This was really important to me. Some of them I do.
Open my eyes to what gaming could be.
Yeah,
should
exactly.
Be.
Or, exactly. This is what made me like really want to play a game, or this is what
drives
something.
You. Yeah.
You know, they're not necessarily the best games ever. I mean, my list certainly probably isn't. I'd like to think at least a couple of them on there might pop the top five, pop the top ten, but probably not because I'm weird. So, okay, so Matt, give us your number five game.
Okay, I'm gonna start the kind of five list off with a kind of like Cinderella story, which was really just Saints Row 3. I mean, I love the game.
Yeah.
It's just really quirky. It's kind of what GTA 2 was to a point. Like, the first two were just very funny, you know, just, I mean, just kind of very humorous, almost like American Pie kind of. Like, there's really, like, fart humor, that kind of stuff. And it plays surprisingly well.
Was
very
the driving section in 2 with the poo cannon?
That was pretty fun, actually. That was a great mini game. That was weird. But, yeah, I've played all those games. I've played 2. I've played 3. I mean, like, I played the GTAs, but it really kind of stuck out. Mm-hmm. I mean, the radio stations are pretty good. I tend to play a lot of great open world games. Like, I've played Sleeping Dogs, but it kind of stuck with me. Co-op play is great. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, gosh. Like, I like how it controls. It's not something you have to really fight for, like, if you're in driving sections. Yeah. Gosh, like, even the mini games, even though they're not great, they add abilities to it. And if we want to talk, like, great Saints Row 2 stuff, a lot of achievements in that game, you can actually turn on cheats. So, like, I end up having, like, unlimited pistol ammo throughout that whole game.
Games like that are meant to be cheated. Like,
yeah,
I don't know if
I
I've ever played a playthrough of Grand Theft Auto without spawning helicopters every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I agree.
But yeah, like, that's just, God, I go back to it and play it. It's just absurd in a lot of the best ways. Plays really well. Looks great on a PC. If it's ever cheap, I recommend playing it. It's fun. I mean, it's not mm-hmm. a great game. It's not going to, you know, talk about the great values of video games. Everyone even talk about Journey and stuff, but it's just a great overall game.
Is it fun? I mean, that's the thing. Do you enjoy playing it?
Oh, then God,
I mean, you can say all the heady indie games are better or whatever, you know, but, I mean, at the end of the day, is it fun?
Right.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going back
Hulk
to play
Hogan,
Journey all the time.
Hulk Hogan voices a luchador in the game.
Yeah, Burt Reynolds.
Brother.
Like it has so many really great cameos.
Yeah, nice. Hogan.
What's that?
No, it's just phenomenal. Like, I easily recommend picking up that game.
Yeah, zero argument on that for me. Like, it's a phenomenal game. Dom?
Okay, me? Number 5 for me, Shadow of the Colossus. That was the
good
game.
Choice.
That was the game that broke my Sony bias, like, because
my fuck these guys attitude.
Full disclosure,
Sony cherry.
Full disclosure, I was a Nintendo kid till PS2. I was like so adamantly. I mean, for the most part, there was a couple PS1 games that kind of made me go, mm-hmm. I guess this thing's kind of okay. But yeah, it was like I was okay with Sega because I grew up like. All I knew of video games was Sega versus Nintendo. But, yeah, Shadow of the Colossus, just to me, one of those really interesting kind of stylized games. There's really nothing to it but killing 16 giant monsters.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. It's just so – it's like a great use of it's like minimalist storytelling, minimalist everything. You know a couple characters. There's like a spirit that kind of guides you. But beyond that, it's like you're trying to kill these monsters to save a girl or to bring her back to life. That's it, and it just gives you a great big open world to explore, and you can do it the way you want to do it.
The art style was amazing in that.
I mean, mm-hmm. There's so many things about that game, and it's the sense of being able to – it's just the real sense of actually being on that adventure because you have no context at all. Mm. Well, okay, you have a little bit, but you don't have like much to get. There's like not anything in the way of like – random enemies and just
right.
There's no towns and like people to like sit and talk to. Like, hey, there's this fucking mountain that looks like it might be a monster.
You broke my pots when you came in my house.
Yeah, there's none of that. Though I do love that.
I love breaking the pots in the houses.
Have you ever gone to somebody's house and seen a pot
and just want to smash it on the floor and see if there's rubies in it?
I want to pick it up and throw it against the wall above my head.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
And then just walk out without saying a word.
Well, I thought there might be a fairy in there.
I was looking for rupees.
I want some hearts.
So, yeah, man. And so Shadow of the Colossus. And then I decided that, well, I guess video games exist beyond Nintendo.
They do, in fact.
Which I knew they did, but that was like, oh, I want a PS2. Oh, I want to participate in mm-hmm. the multi-platform gaming.
Yeah.
Like, I never wanted to. Not that I was able to, because just money. Nintendo 64 was the last system that was gifted to me. Everything beyond that was like, yeah, you little shit, you want
to
play games?
You have to work for it.
By yourself.
Charlie?
My number 5, a little bit of a more obscure title, but I still think about this game all the time. Killer 7.
I don't know if
anybody played Killer 7.
That's a Suda game, right?
Yeah. Yes, it is. It is one of the most bizarre, heady, in a way, games I've ever played. Mm-hmm. The gameplay is unique. There's no other game I've ever played. It's almost like an on-the-rails first-person shooter, but not. And it's almost impossible to describe the game to somebody without just letting them play it. On the GameCube, great,
seven
gorgeous graphics.
Yeah, so there's seven assassins, yeah. Right?
Seven assassins, yeah. And you're guided
by
first, a
Gemp. I want to say it's the first of the assassin games that Suda started doing.
Oh, yeah, because there's a new one coming
up. Changed my perspective of what video games could be, storytelling-wise. It's almost like a Tarantino video game. And it must play for everybody. You could go back, play it now, still blow your mind. Interesting gameplay. Unique, different. Nothing else has ever been made like it.
And very neat art style on it, too.
Yeah, yeah. Beautiful. It's my number five. It's not necessarily the funnest game in the world, but it has stuck with me. I'll never forget it. It's funny as hell. Random. Yeah. You have to play it.
Okay.
Really good stuff.
Zachary?
So, you guys can hate me all you want for this, but my number five game of all time is World of Warcraft. I figure any game that I had to dump that much time into...
And money.
Didn't have to, per se, but opted to dump that much time into absolutely has to be considered something of a favorite. I mean, I have hours upon hours in that game. Some of the stories are fantastic. A lot of the community is shit, but if you can get past that and find a group of people to play with that you actually enjoy playing with, it's probably some of my best times in video games. As most people who have played MMOs, I've met a lot of people across the world from it. I've actually got to, face-to-face meet some of these people. And, it's led to some good times. And I can't tell you how many countless nights I fell asleep at my computer just hovering above Stormwind or something like that. That doesn't sound like fun, but that was typically following... Six hours of what?
That's no. How I fall asleep on my computer.
It's all sticky. I don't know why.
That was typically following hours and hours of, playing with buddies that I know here in the area, playing with, friends states away in Australia, Europe. So, I mean, it's been a good time. Sadly, I have put that to rest in hopes of greener pastures at the end of August. So that's my number five. I know those are pretty pathetic reasons to actually like that game. I mean, the art style is nothing unique. They've pretty much had the same art style for damn near 10 years now.
Yeah.
Some of the battles are unique, but outside of that...
Question, what do they do with World of Warcraft now?
Yeah, like, what's the next one?
Do you get rid of it? You do
one more expansion, and then you put it to rest. You do something else. Like, I don't think whatever Project Titan is...
They're beating a dead horse at this point.
I mean, do you think it was meant to run on for that long?
I don't think so.
No.
I think... Yeah, but
can't
I mean,
make
enough
money, though.
Yeah.
Granted, they're down to 7 million subscribers now, but... Which, I mean, that's still a lot of people.
That's a dedicated fan base,
if you look at it back when it had, like, 14 million, 15 million people playing the game, I would have kept doing it, I wouldn't have put an end to it, so... I really hope that Project Titan's something new that's coming from Blizzard. I know that they're back on the workshop with that, but we'll see what comes from it.
Yeah,
so
I have a question about that because it's an MMO, so you end up playing with a lot of people. Like, let's just say Devil's Advocate. If you played a single player, would it be the same experience you think about these years later?
I played a lot of the game single player. Like,
oh, really?
I mean, a lot of just questing and everything is single player in the game.
Yeah,
a lot of the dungeons. Even once you hit a high enough level, you can go back and run a good chunk of the dungeons by
yourself. Instances, right?
Yeah, the instances. But you don't really get that chance when you're capped. You need to run with other people.
Yeah.
So you can pretty much go the entire game until you're capped out in level with never playing with somebody else.
Oh, so it has a kind of detailed story and plot. Mm-hmm. They can still do it even though you don't need those kind of people.
It's a bunch of fetch missions and... Go here, kill this, come back to me, and now go just 10 steps further and kill this, and then come back to me. But, it works. So
nice.
On to number four for all of us. Matt?
I'm going to go with a kind of smaller game. It's made by Demerge Studios, who ended up doing a lot of ports of famous games, like, Rock Band Green Day and stuff. It's called Shoot Many Robots. The best way
Never
I can
played
say,
it.
It's pretty much like Metal Slug. I mean, if we're going to boil it down, kind of like Mercenary Kings, you'll see in the future. It's a game where you're just like this guy, WP Tugnut or whatever, and you're four people.
Tugnut?
Yeah, that's his name.
Good.
So the best part...
I like it already.
So I'll start with the comical stuff firsthand. To get health, you drink beer. So, like, that's set there. But it's a four-person Metal Slug game.
Yeah.
And it's just fun. Like, it's, you get loot. I mean, my games will eventually have, because I end up liking other games in my list down the line because of these same characteristics. Like, it has witty item descriptions, so they're not just like, mm-hmm. this gun does this much damage at this mm-hmm. range. It's pretty funny. There's loot. I mean, there's different items you can equip. It's just funny. The soundtrack is done by Disaster Piece, so I just realized it did some stuff for Hotline Miami, which is kind of cool. And it's just, the soundtrack is really just a bunch of bluesy slide guitar stuff. That's kind of why I ended up liking Led Zeppelin in the long run. But great game. Find it on a Steam sale. Play it with friends. I ended up playing the main single player just by myself, so I only got that situation of it. But man, it's something that, like what Zach was saying about like that MMO mm-hmm. thing, about that just constant trying to get loot, that just brings me back for more. I bought it full price on console, and it's a great game.
Cool. We'll have to check that out.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I love about this. So many great games that you just don't have time to play, or you just don't know exist.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
I just put Killer 7 on my like an eBay watch list.
Good, good.
It's a great game.
Good. I'm going to go home and probably download Kill Mini Robots. So, mm-hmm. Dominic, number four.
Number four, Metal Gear Solid. Another PlayStation game.
Yeah.
Right? Aren't you proud of me?
Yeah.
So that's one where...
whole franchise or just the first game?
The first game. I didn't play any of the PC or Nintendo era Metal Gears, mm-hmm. mostly because I think that like the very first Metal Gear game that came into the U.S. was like a despicable port that was just terrible.
Really?
But, I mean, I don't know when the Thief games came out. Like, I don't know what made stealth popular, but in my memory, it was Metal Gear Solid. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the game that made stealth. And that idea of that kind of gameplay, because that... When that game came out, that was, I think, the most recent game that I had played was Ocarina of Time, because they came out about the same time, mm-hmm. and just like a completely radically different way to play a game, and it was so interesting. And if like, honestly, the day I saw my friend put a box over him, and then, like, and there's even like a room full of boxes, and like at a point in one of the like bases in the game that you're trying to infiltrate, and I can't remember if it was the actual like final nuclear base you have to infiltrate, but oh my god. But just the idea, like the first time, it was like early in the game when you're walking around some crates and it's snowing outside, mm-hmm. and the enemies see your footprints. And like those weird little touches.
That can happen?
Right. Like those weird touches of details, like that was totally unheard of for me. And like just that game, it really like affected, again, another game that really affected the way that I viewed video games. I had a really traditional view of adventure game, platformer, racing game. That's basically it. But here come, you know, these two Sony games I was just talking about, and just totally radically changed the way that I saw a game. And Metal Gear is absolutely one of them. And I, to this day, like, I love, mm-hmm. like, I love stealth games. So
I'm terrible at stealth games. Yeah, I love Metal Gear. I am just god-awful.
See, that's why I burned so much time in Far Cry 3. Not that it's a stealth game, but when, like, you can make it a stealth game if you want.
I like it to be an option, but then you get games like Dishonored. I don't know if you've ever played that.
No.
Yeah, I'm interested.
Terrible at that game. I could see it being a great game, but I'm so bad at stealth games, it just did not work for me.
Yeah. See, the stealth-based stuff that's really great. See, the thing that Metal Gear did that's not very many stealth games do well is when you botch the stealth, you can actually kind of still recover mm-hmm. from it, and it's not totally destroyed. Mm-hmm. Like in Arkham,
and they reward you for doing the stealth too.
Yeah, absolutely. In Arkham Asylum and Arkham City, if you fuck up a stealth, it doesn't feel like you did because mm-hmm. the combat, it works. It's like the combat in there works better than it did in Metal Gear. But just all of the different gadgets and weapons that you get to aid in all the stealth. Like, so there's parts in the game when you can walk up to a bathroom and there's a dude pissing in a urinal and you can put a little block of C4 on him because why not? Like, just, yeah.
Small touches like that.
Yeah. Another game that changed the way that I viewed video games and what's possible with them.
It's cool. Charlie. Cool.
All right. My number four. Fittingly enough, and some of you might question this one, Resident Evil 4.
I can see that.
No. Which version, though?
GameCube.
GameCube. So the rail shooter?
It was kind of rail shootery. I have mixed feelings about this game because it is my favorite game in the franchise, but I think it also single-handedly killed the franchise because it turned it from being a survival horror game into a third-person shooter.
Yeah.
But it worked in Resident Evil 4 really well.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved the game. It really created that action third person. It was the perfect mix of what that series should be. And then you look at later on, and they just took the QuickTime pieces and ruined Resident Evil with it. So I have mixed feelings about it, but it still to this day, it's a great game to play through.
It feels like one of those things where a lot of times studios, when you get a big enough title that.
This worked.
Whatever works, whatever's popular, they throw it into it because it's like, oh, it's a giant.
Duty.
I feel like we're saying.
Get something in your throat, or do you want to just say Call of Duty sucks? and it's like at studios, like, oh, that's a bulletproof title, like it's a bulletproof franchise, so we can throw anything that's popular into it and throw zombie monsters, and boom, it's new Resident. It's like Resident Evil 5, like God, because it was
that
just
was terrible.
Like,
yeah, it kept the GameCube controls basically, like it controlled like a brick.
Yeah,
that was terrible.
I watched you and Andy play it, but
yeah.
It was
I
so
think
good.
Andy and I only played like two levels of it. I never actually finished it. I made it about halfway through and couldn't take it anymore.
Yeah, he has six, and six looks like weird. I don't know.
I've heard
it's
worse. Never played it. Resident Evil 5.
Didn't they make Chris Redfield like giant and buff in it?
They made him John Cena.
What I saw there, so there's a bunch of
John Redfield.
The way you play six is through different characters. Like you play like different characters in different chapters, and there's ways to get more experience by playing certain characters at certain times. So I only saw him play the dude that's the son of the Matrix guy.
Wesker?
Keanu?
The dude.
Whoa,
zombies.
Well, like in the movies, I always call him the Matrix guy, but it's like
Wesker.
Yeah, so it's he's Wesker's son, and you play as him, and he's one of the characters that you play as in the game.
Yeah. Mm.
But I saw those parts, and they looked really generic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's amazing how a great game could ruin a franchise.
I didn't pick that up, like the sixth one.
I don't know. Watch an LP if you really want to see it.
Yeah. Yeah,
but other than that,
I don't really care enough. Nothing against the series or anything. I just there's way more out that I'd rather spend my time on right now.
I mean, survival horror is great. Like,
yeah,
that's where I need to go back and play, because the first Resident Evil game that I had any like interface with was 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, same here.
Like, you need to play the remakes.
Yeah, played. I remember playing 1 and 2 on the PlayStation. Well, and 3 Nemesis. So I've played all of those on the PlayStation, and then after that, just really didn't get too much into 4, 5, or 6. I actually think it was buying the one that was online only and not knowing
which
is my Infinite Infestation or
no? I think it was Operation Raccoon City or something
like
that.
That was terrible.
That was the one on
the online
PlayStation 2.
That's
why
you had to buy that.
Yeah. I remember that. You
buy this $30 network adapter and play this horrible game.
No.
No. All right, so my number 4 is Rainbow Six Vegas. Up until Rainbow Six Vegas came out, I was not a fan of shooters at all. And this is the first shooter that my buddies and I got into. Like, we all dodged the Halo bullet. We all dodged, you know. Like,
I wish I would have dodged
a
Halo
bunch
bullet.
I don't.
We got into Call of Duty, but I believe Modern Warfare was after RSV, so
it sounds kind of right.
I liked it mainly due to the fact it wasn't twitchy. Like, if I wanted to kind of slow play without being called a camping bitch, then you could duck behind things.
Yeah,
you know,
use cover.
You could use cover, and you still got a really good first-person feel out of the game. Unfortunately, they put out Vegas 2, and that
exactly.
See, all I remember about the Rainbow Six series was I think it was the PS1 like N64 era version of it, and one of the big things that they would say was like the bodies don't disappear, and there's spreading blood patterns. And it was like, I remember reading that in some game magazine. It was like EGM or something at the time, and they're like, oh, this is totally rad. Like, there's blood in it. Like, blood pools. And it's like,
could you make the blood green?
Okay.
All good old games.
Oh,
can do
that. Like in Turok?
Yeah. I want blue blood.
I really just want to be shooting Vulcans because I hate them. Peace, love, and science, hippie bastards.
What?
Star Trek.
I don't get that reference.
It's because Vulcans have green blood and they all love science.
Oh. Hmm. All right.
So, like, that game was really good. Like, I remember playing Terrorist Hunt. That was probably one of the
fun. That killed all my momentum for the day.
Well, Star Trek will kill your momentum because it is slow and boring.
Just insert
awesome.
It anywhere.
But all right, so number 3, Matt.
Number 3, I'm probably gonna go with a super giant game called Bastion. I really liked it because I have such a history of playing like creator world games, like I think Legend of Mana, I think of Dark Cloud on the PlayStation 2, these games where you open up this kind of tabula rasa. You have this open plane to pick up pieces of the world and rebuild it. Like, that was always cool for my mind to think that way. And a lot of these games were hack and slash. Like, I was always afraid with the RPG or JRPG games where essentially, like, you had to have commands that took me out of the gaming experience. That's why I never really got into those games. But Bastion had such a great soundtrack. I mean, I heard about that from the 1UP guys back when they did their stuff. Game. And just, it was great. Like, it just felt really great. You know, I thought the storytelling was really good. The narrator is probably one of the best parts about that game in general. Like, this really gruff, pulpy, just, you know, narrator that narrates the whole thing, and he ends up being another character, which is kind of cool. But overall, like, I highly recommend it. You'll see it on Humble Bundles. You'll see it on Steam sales. It's a good 6-8 hour game to just play through and enjoy the lush graphics. And the soundtrack is just beautiful. It kind of ushered in how people now, like, look at soundtracks now as more than just something that's just 8-bit, like, actually a little bit more substantial.
It was a wonderful game.
Like, 9 bits?
9 bits. Yeah. 9 bits of sound.
Wow. So many bits.
Dom?
Super Mario 3.
Good.
Yep.
Good.
Okay, so if you're a child of the 80s and you went to go see The Wizard. Yeah. Okay. Mario 3.
Had the power glove. Didn't work.
It's so bad.
it's so bad.
Yeah, so, like playing, like, that era of games, like, oh my God. Yeah, Mario 3 was the, that was the game that I remember coming out for the NES, because I caught the tail end of the life of the NES. Yeah. I remember that coming out, because that was like 1990. And that was just like one of those games that seems to pop up in my life here and there. Like, I had a weird period in college where a buddy of mine, we would get drunk and beat Mario 3 every Friday.
Wow.
Because, like, over the course of, and it was funny to watch, like, how fast, like, and we wouldn't, like, no warping, like, don't worry, no warping. It was all 8 worlds. Like, you know, we'd use, like, all the cheats. Like, there's one of the, like, the boat. Or the fortress, like the whatever, like ship fortress level in World 8. You can actually, like, jump at the beginning of the level. You can jump to the left and go under the water, and you can swim under the entire thing.
Yep.
Oh, that's beautiful.
We would do stuff like that. But yeah, Mario 3 is just one of those where the Mario series kind of had a weird life, because it went Mario 1, or, you know, like the arcade game, but then the first console game was traditional Mario, and then Mario 2 here was that weird-ass, you know, Doki Doki Panic version, but then Mario 3 was kind of back to basics, but new mechanics, new things, like new ways to play the game. Just, again, like one of those absolute classic platformers that everybody copies. It's just like there's reasons why people copy that, because it's just so fun. Like, it's just one of those games that it doesn't matter how frustrating a level gets, you just can't. You literally can't stop, and everybody knows, you know, like, and it's one of those weird games where if anybody plays games even a little bit, everybody knows at least a couple secrets in that, and that's always, like, a cool kind of secret handshake between game people. It's just like, oh, if you duck, you know, oh, duck on the white platform, and you fall behind the level, and you get the flute and all that stuff. Which, fun bit of trivia, the flute, it's the same flute from Legend of Zelda, and the same song plays.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. So when you play the song to get to the seventh dungeon in the first Legend of Zelda, it's the exact same tune. And there's even the little tornado. It's the exact same shit. Yeah, so very Mario good. 3, man. Oh, Mario 3.
Dropping my pen again.
1990 and The Wizard. Can we talk about The Wizard for a second?
Yeah, by all means.
I just want to talk about it.
What a wonderful movie.
Right?
Wonderfully terrible movie.
Oh, my God. And you know what's funny about movies from the 80s, like kids' movies from the 80s? The kids are so adult. Like, there's a part in the movie where the girl, I can't remember the girl's name, but their girl companion, she talks about her mom who was, like, in the circus or something, and she's like, oh, yeah, she had great legs. Like, what? This is your mother, you 9-year-old idiot.
Yeah, what do you know about
this?
80s
are so awkward.
And there's, like, apparently there were people back then, like, because there's the dude that was hired to, like, go catch the kids, and it's just like, what? Like, a child kidnap specialist? Like, you...
Private investigator?
Before Craigslist?
What? That's the real Craigslist, Joe.
Oh, Craigslist.
But, like, just those awesome, like, 80s movies things of, like, kids' movies now are just so, like, pussified. And, like, back then, it's like... The kids, the things that got the kids catatonic then. It's like the kid's catatonic because his sister's dead. Like, they bust him out of a mental institution. Like, that was a kid's movie. Like, oh, man.
I mean, well, and
different,
you know,
era.
The Garbage Pail Kids movie, that had, what, a PG rating to it, you know. such different times.
That's why we're better. That's why our generation's better.
That's why our generation is fucked up and weird.
No. That's why we're all fat, because we ate too much pizza, because
the Ninja Turtles told me to eat pizza.
Oh, man, I can be ripped if I eat pizza all day.
I live in a shit-filled sewer and eat pizza.
Yeah, I'll just practice my ninja.
Great, now I have hepatitis.
What, so, you mean now you have hepatitis?
Past tense.
So, anyways, yeah, hepatitis and Mario 3. Those are my favorite video game memories.
You had a different one than I did.
Because you know why? They'll both always be with me.
All right. Oh. So, Charlie, number three.
Oh, shit. Mario 64.
Nice.
Mind blown when I first played that game.
Right. Do you remember?
What? 3D Mario? Oh, my God.
The Best Buy TV grids, and when you'd walk in, and it was like the 10 by 10 TVs, and it was nothing but Mario on it.
What is this analog stick you speak of?
I remember going to Sears, and they had like their N64 set up in like the little kids' clothes. And I was just at the age where I was starting to wear like regular size jeans.
You still
jeans
hang
and stuff.
Out in the little kids clothes, Zach.
That's horrible.
That's what fits.
I don't. I am kind of jealous of some of the comic book shirts they get, but
yeah, it's not fair.
No, it's not. Definitely have cooler toys now, in my opinion. Some of them are a lot cooler. Some of them are a lot cooler.
The kids' toys now suck, man. They don't have play. Do you remember the 80s play sets? Like the 80s and 90s play sets?
Yeah, like the Turtle Sewer and everything?
Yeah, and the G.I. Joe.
My real Ghostbusters firehouse with the slime that fell down on everything. Still have that motherfucker.
Oh, I
still have it with the dried on slime and everything that probably is giving me cancer as we speak.
What about Crash Test Dummies? Remember the Crash Test Dummies stuff?
I didn't have those.
Oh, yes. My God. It was the Voltron.
I had Voltron.
Cars would explode.
I had a ton of Transformers.
Darkwing Duck. I had like a Darkwing Duck plane.
Okay,
that was made
so
of duck
Mario 64.
You don't even need to say anything about this game. Everybody's played it. Everybody's beat it. Everybody's jumped through the window and got that secret star going down that slide. Like,
say I haven't.
You've never played Mario 64?
What?
Get the fuck out of the fucking blanket fort.
Like, I like
Get
Mario's...
out of the blanket fort.
No girls and no Matt.
What?
Aww. No. In all fairness, I didn't actually beat it until it was on the DS.
It was terrible on the DS.
I know, I'm aware. But
I mean, beat it or 120 started.
I've never 120 started.
Whoa.
Really?
We should do that.
Yeah. So. That's one of those games where it's one of the there's myths. There's so many myths surrounding that game.
The mythology of Mario 64.
So, Luigi's a playable character. Oh, and you can get Yoshi. And there's all of these weird things that have and to the point where people make the fake screen caps of it and stuff like that. But it's just one of those games that's just so prevalent and just so big.
And how many games have been emulated off that? I mean, you look at some other games. I was about ready to put Jak and Daxter on my list, and I was like, I think Naughty Dog, probably the best game company we have out there. One of them.
Yeah, one of the more successful ones,
One of their greatest titles, that 3D idea of a 3D platformer, it still sticks around to this day. It's still prevalent. Look at Knack coming out on the PS4. That is basically Mario
really
64.
Yeah.
Great game. Nothing needs to be said.
I mean, a lot of games came from both of those Mario franchises, so
yeah,
or Mario games true. Out of that franchise. A lot of games spawned out of both of those.
It's just so weird to think about where Mario is now, where he's like kind of self. It's like self plagiarism.
Mario cats.
Mario cats. I mean, I hear
me at meow.
I hear the cat suit's kind of fun and everything, but
how can you not be stoked for a cat suit?
I mean, it's just nothing about it looks
new.
Three
of the four of us have cats. We will absolutely be thrilled when we get the cat suit the first time. So
I'm not a cat. I have a cat by
did
accident.
Did you see the cat ears
cat
and the
accident.
Mittens they gave out at E3? Yeah. Yeah. Everybody was walking around on. So jealous of
those. I
mean,
the cat stuff makes sense because, Japan, cats,
right.
Whatever.
Right.
But, nothing about Mario
all
seems...
you have to say is because Japan. It's cool. You don't need an explanation for that.
I don't think Galaxy didn't necessarily bring anything super new to the table.
No.
Sure.
But it was a great game. It was just a great Mario platformer.
It was cool.
But...
I like Mario Sunshine a little bit more than I do Galaxy. Please don't hit me.
No, it's fine. That's a weird.
I love Sunshine.
I don't understand the hate on Sunshine.
Sunshine's
a fine game. There's
I never actually played
it.
It's really fun.
It's
I just had zero interest in it at that point.
It's not the best, but it's
there
fine.
Was a lot nothing of other games out across the PlayStation 2 and the GameCube. I didn't really do a lot of Xboxing.
People really like to shit on the GameCube for some reason. I don't understand that.
There are a lot of really good games on the GameCube. A lot of really good games.
Dude, Progressive Scan. Progressive Scan.
Yep.
Fucking 32 frames a second. Are you kidding me? Like, watching the Pikmin games were... Mm-hmm. I don't think both... I know the second one was. The first one might have been a Progressive Scan, but seeing F-Zero F-Zero run at 32 frames a second. It's fantastic.
I was watching
Resident Evil 4 looked gorgeous on
it. Oh, yeah, that was a progressive scan game, too.
Then they ported it to the PlayStation 2, and it was borderline unplayable. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. GameCube was amazing hardware. The controller did suck.
I was watching the Summer Games Telethon this weekend.
Hated the controller.
Mm-hmm. And they did Luigi's Mansion on it.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, Luigi's Mansion still looks phenomenal.
So. Mm-hmm. I think that was a really funny game because early in the life of the system, and they're sort of like figuring mm-hmm. out what's possible with engines yep. and everything, mm-hmm. and they do funny things in that game, like Luigi's nose. Like that was the true origin of jiggle physics was Luigi's nose, because if you watch every time
and
you walk,
Luigi's nose,
like seriously, it jiggles more. it jiggles more than
DOA 2 should be.
Yeah,
on my
I was
list.
Just gonna say it jiggles more than DOA.
Oh, all right, Tina!
So, my number three, Katamari games. All of them. Every single one. I will play the ever-loving shit out of the Katamari games.
I have to be inebriated to play the Katamari
You're
games.
Like, what? Why
and
you
then
like
they're
it?
Awesome.
I just don't get the appeal.
I can sit down. I can turn my brain completely off. I can fail miserably repeatedly until I accidentally get... You know, the score that the king of the cosmos and his giant pants ball just telling me to get.
Shouldn't you be spending that time cleaning your place and then collecting the litter in your place?
Make your own little game
if
out of it?
You can find me a you giant get real ball change. That I can roll things up with in my place, then yes, I'll clean my place using a Katamari. But there's something cool about running over a 7-foot sumo wrestler with this ball with a 1,000 people trapped on it, all just flailing, waiting for me to run into something so they can be free.
Isn't that like a funny, like, just like, there's a lot of those weird Japanese games that have like these really odd and morbid, mm-hmm. like, just morbid themes to them mm-hmm. if you really think about it, yeah. like Pikmin and,
Pikmin's terrible.
Pokemon? The general...
Get in your ball, little cute little Pokemon.
The general premise of most of the Katamaris is the king of the cosmos gets drunk and fucks something up, and sends the prince of the cosmos to fix it while he takes a nap. And then when the prince gets done and hasn't actually done what the king wants him to do, he shoots laser beams out of his eyes and puts him on a giant pool table and shoots cue balls at him. Like, while the very predominant of the background is the king of the cosmos, giant fucking codpiece. So it's just
worse
it's
than
fun.
Batman's nipples.
Worse than George Clooney's Batman nipples, Batman. Yes.
Batman.
Yes,
Bat nips.
So I mean, again, you know, it's
Wait
just
a
something.
Minute. What if those were just there? They never showed it in the movie, but I bet that was just like another tool spot. So maybe they were like little.
Where his bat smoke came
like,
out
like
of.
Little shoot like little tasers. Like they both like shot little tasers. Just like pew pew pew.
Yeah. We can only hope. The face I made and only heard that sound. I do.
You can picture it. That's actually funny. Like the in Pikmin 2. After you've saved the, then go pee.
Okay.
After you've saved the, like, you've saved yourself.
I'm handing him a cup.
I'm trying to get a.
But, where's the piss bucket?
after you've like saved yourself and like gotten off the planet and like fixed the dolphin and everything like that, you immediately go back to home.
How do you fix a dolphin?
That's the name of your ship.
Okay.
Everything was dolphin back then in for GameCube.
I knew that. I was so out of the conversation because I was distracted by Zach's piss. I was just imagining you fixing a real dolphin.
Yeah, I know. It's like what's under the hood.
He flies there.
Plug the blowhole.
Once you get back, like you don't even get to go see your family. There's even like musings in the first game about like, oh, I hope I get to see my family and I don't die of the poisonous atmosphere here. But like you get back, you land, and your boss is like, hey, sorry, I bankrupted the company, so I'm going to sell your ship, and also you have to go back to that planet to collect treasure. You don't even get to see your family. Bye. Like,
your wife is dead.
No, yeah, like he didn't tell you that your wife is dead, and he just like sends you back there, just like, and then he's like wearing a wig and he's pretending to be your wife. No, that doesn't actually happen.
Put the lotion on the skin.
But there are really funny things like in the game where you get emails from your boss like while you're, and he's just like, so our loan, I thought it was with Happy Savings and Loan, but it's actually with all-consuming loan sharks. So now our debt's doubled.
Sally May repossessed your house.
Exactly. It's actually exactly what it's like to have student loans right now.
I know.
Yeah. So, Zach, I was just curious. Did you ever play the Nobi Nobi Boy games?
Yeah, I played it.
Oh, you
like it? I didn't play much of it because, honestly, I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, real weird.
Apparently, I was assisting in making a giant wiener dog grow to the moon or something like that.
To go through the universe.
Rub it harder.
Wait,
Nobi Nobi Boy.
Oh, I was like, are you talking about a video game?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's by the same guys who did Katamari. It was a PSN, a PlayStation Network game.
Yeah.
But I still really – I bought it because it was by the same guys, but I still really don't know what was going on. You ate things and then pooped them out?
Yeah, you grew bigger.
And I mean,
that's
bigger.
That's pretty true to life, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Japan. So
that's good enough.
All right, Matt, two.
Okay, two. I'm starting to get more of the community games. I'm going to go with Rock Band 3 because I was a huge freaking like music game
guy.
Not
just because recording on Rock Band mics?
We don't need to know that.
Yeah. Oh, okay, we're recording on super nice mics.
Not Rock Band mics.
But no, like it's
stolen.
It's paid dividends. I have great stories from it, and it just like even the Guitar Hero games up until that point in college, it's what everyone did. Everyone tried to play high scores, and when Rock Band 3 kind of came out, gosh, like they had 3,000 songs. There was a game that anyone can play. It just ended up being a lot of fun. I mean, like I still have moments where my friends bust them out at parties and play, even though the instruments and all the things are still hard to find these days. Yeah. It still is surprisingly fun.
Not that hard to find, apparently.
Yeah,
some people, yeah.
So I mean, I'm going to say this because everybody else says it, just so I get to hear your answer. But why not dump that effort into actually playing an instrument?
I mean, I see what you mean. Honestly, I've tried picking up a guitar multiple times, and
Rocksmith.
Yeah, I mean, Rocksmith is the other series that has done that, as well as another one I can't think of. But I mean, video games are easy to me. I come naturally to me, and I'm not a great musician. I like music, but I can't reproduce, and I get easily frustrated with the game. It simplifies it a bit, and there was a pro guitar. You could either get like the 120-button version, or you could actually get a guitar and play. And I've even tried, you know, Rocksmith and played that too, but it just – the sense of everyone playing towards something, everyone's trying to put – you know, do their part for it. Because a lot of games can be very single-player games, whether it's the new SSX, which is pretty much only single-player, or the games you have to be online to play co-op. There's not really a lot of couch co-op these days. And you get everyone together, have their own role, and play it. It's just really awesome, and it really gets to show off what kind of music you like, and then also have your friends enjoy it as well.
My cousins played those games on the actual – on the DualShock. They didn't use the instruments. They played
really?
It on, you can play. I didn't even know you could play them on the DualShock.
Wow, but
that sounds way easier.
It is, but it was like, why?
That's not even fun.
Why
play
it?
Like, play
like
a rapper.
That's what they did. It was so bizarre.
My problem with those games was I was never really found them fun. Which is whatever. Everybody has different tastes, but they're so goddamn annoying to watch if you're not actually playing the game. It's like terrible karaoke with horrible clicking noises.
Yeah. If somebody sucks, because then it's just like you get the weird like. Like the weird.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh my god!
I'm keeping my mouth shut about this one because I'm fucking horrible at the game.
Me too.
All of the music based games.
I kind of played like one of them, and it was one of the Guitar Heroes. I don't remember.
DJ Hero.
That's another series. Guitar Hero 1,
I'm
going to
bring you one of those.
Rock in the 80s. There's all three Rock Band 3 games, and it got really weird in the Guitar Hero games when Neversoft, who did all the Spider-Man games, ended up just making awful things like
and I single-handedly hate Green Day because of that Green Day Rock Band.
I disagree. I still
remember
like
when the DJ Hero thing came out. We were working at video rental store.
video rental store. Yes, I do.
I was like, I saw Rack that. And I was like, is that because that was like on the trailer video? And I was like, is that? No, it's gotta be a spoof.
No, it was real.
I played that too. I mean, like it just something about music games. It's just something cerebral where just like I like music so much and being able to play little bits and pieces, gosh, it's paid off things. I've bought countless songs. Me and my friends have played expert on almost every instrument. Like we've had multiple parties and gosh, it's one of the best ways for people who can only play like Mario to kind of pick up a game, put it on no fail mode and just watch your friends and all the pretty colors.
Oh, you hippie.
Hey man, it's real good. It's real good. Give it some time.
I just like pretty colors.
There was like this split second of silence and Dom's just like, you appall me.
Yeah, we recorded it.
Yeah,
we can hear it again on our Rock Band mics.
So on our music game mics. No, they're super nice. All right, so my number two game.
Yeah.
I've got to go get some friends to help me.
Aw.
He's walking over. He's bringing up some little statues.
Pokemon Red and Blue.
I have no idea why that's not on my list.
I was 11 years old when that game hit the U.S. That is the absolute perfect age for this. So, although there's some weird kind of hatred for, like, or not hatred, but people are kind of like, why do you play Pokemon? Like,
what kind of game is that?
I like, it's a video game. It's fun. Like,
Pokemon get you laid.
I mean, it can, I guess.
Works for me.
Yeah, it's in Red and Blue.
you are just one of the rare occurrences that actually is a fact. And
well, the funny thing is an ex-girlfriend got me back into Pokemon. I had, like, a big break with it, and I just hadn't.
Yeah.
And then, like, she just started watching the anime. And she's like, did you ever watch this anime? And I was like, are you watching the anime? And she was like, yeah. And then... like,
can we see were, Dom actually bursting into tears.
Well,
and,
we were watching it, and then she, like, for whatever reason, like, the version that she were watching, it just started at the episode. It didn't have the theme song. And I was like, what are you doing?
What season is this?
What are you doing?
You have to have the song.
You're
right.
Not doing it right. You need to hear about how you want to be the very best, like,
you're
no one ever was.
You're doing it wrong.
So, like, we found a version, and I, like, just totally outed myself, just because I was, like, even more passionately singing than that dude doing, like, the 80s ballad. Like the 80s ballad, like, I want to be the, like, that one. Oh, yeah. God. So anyways, yeah, back to the game. Like the RPG, like, I'm not a big RPG person. I'm not a big turn-based combat person, but the mixture of the kind of fun little monstery characters,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
partially the culture, just like the Pokemon fever that was, like, it was Pac-Man fever, you know, 20 years before,
sure.
and now it's
yeah.
Pokemon fever.
The cards. Yes.
I didn't play the cards a little bit, but like, I
didn't play those. I played other ones.
Again, I did like early competitive Pokemon, like before mm-hmm. the official like league rules were set up. Like, but it was when they would do. There was still like a couple league, like not league requirements, but it was like there were never any legendaries allowed. Like no Mewtwo's, no, just like no legendaries. But for the most part, there's actually a lot of really strict rules now. But that game, it's another one of those adventure games. The feeling of getting out, like you're kind of being railroaded, like. There's effectively, it's pretty much
a straight
it's
line,
pretty
yeah.
much a straight line, but there is mm-hmm. a big feeling of exploration within the individual towns. There's a lot to discover that you might miss if you don't go there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just the weird feeling of actually seeing your progress in the weird ways, like your Pokemon are evolving, and you really kind of get a weird sense of, like, I don't want to say camaraderie, but
attachment.
But really, yeah, yeah, like, absolutely. Like, you do feel this weird twinge, like, when one of them faints, and, like, it's just like, oh, man.
Yeah, you've been
like,
playing with them for so long.
Yeah, it's just like, because you're, because those are long games. Like, yeah. those are, like, yeah. if you play.
I've had
them,
his Mankey with me for 20 hours. I'm not getting rid of him now.
Like, oh, man. And then, like, I wouldn't evolve Pikachu Love. When I would get him. And, like,
really?
I had a little, like, level 90 Pikachu that was just, like, a beast.
No Raichu for you.
No, why would you ever evolve Pikachu, man?
But Raichu looks stupid. Like,
he does.
And, I don't know, man.
Like, so the later games, I do really like a lot of the later Pokemon games. So when I got, the games
Black
that were.
Black and White are really good.
Black and White, those were the games that were new when I got back into Pokemon. So I went back and I played through. The first game that I played through new Pokemon was the remake of Red.
So it was like Fire Red or whatever.
And
Fire
it included some Fire Red and Leaf Green. But
yeah,
it was
right.
Some of like the
Leaf
additions,
Red,
like
Fire
the passive abilities, like some Pokemon, if you just physically attack them, they poison you or paralyze you, or like they have all kinds of awesome, cool new abilities. But to me, it's like the breakout. The breakout one's the one to celebrate. So for me, that's Pokemon. And it was just like, God, that. It was so big. It was
one
so
of the best
big
turn-based games I've ever played.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I was the right age for it, and I still like, I don't care. I will get new fist fights over Pokemon.
Surprisingly, I've only played Red, like that's it.
What's your favorite starter Pokemon?
He's showing Squirtle.
Yeah, Charmander's good.
Oh,
see, the problem is the best fire type in, like, honestly, the best fire type is Arcanine. Because he's
sense.
A way better mixed attacker, and Charizard's kind of
in the game.
He's all speed and all physical attack, but Arcanine's got special. He's got physical attack. He's got speed. He's got endurance. He's got everything.
I love how differently the game plays out depending on who you picked. Like
the first
boss, Brock, is such a pain if you have Pikachu, if you have yellow,
or even if you have like Charmander.
It's so hard.
It's so
and
hard
then
until the second.
You get
third
to the second one, and I believe that's Misty,
mm-hmm.
if I remember correctly.
Yeah, water. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The only reason,
there's
that,
my
Brock's,
childhood
the
right
only reason
there.
That Brock's hard is because all of his rock types are rock ground, which
mm-hmm.
is a weird misconception people have that electric doesn't work against rock. It works just fine against rock. It actually does normal damage against rock. It just doesn't do shit to ground types.
Mm-hmm.
And Onix and Geodude are ground.
That's right.
And rock
yeah.
types. I can hear vaginas drying. And Charlie?
Oh, I was gonna
number
say.
Two. This might even be dorkier. Skyrim. Oh, my God. God,
there's nothing wrong with that.
No, I mean, I was playing it last night. It's phenomenal.
What? Like,
still?
I got the DLC and I bought it on cheap for PC and it runs ultra high online. I've been collecting
these cheese wedges for months. I am not going to let this not happen.
I have a box for that actually.
Yeah.
Oh god.
You don't understand. Like I have a house
full of sweet rolls.
Oh, that's a great idea.
There's not a better game just to explore and do nothing.
Skyrim Bakery.
There's not a better game just to explore. Combat, exploration, everything is just an A-plus title.
Wonderful game.
Oh, yeah.
When I beat the game the first time, I did everything, which was kind of a mistake because at the end of it, I was so powerful.
Like, yeah, you're just very overpowered.
Yeah. Right. If I could go back and do my first playthrough again, I would split it into two playthroughs, which is my advice for anybody starting into that.
Yeah.
Do half the things and beat it, and then go back and play it again and do the Dark Brotherhood and whatnot.
Yeah.
My problem with Skyrim is exactly, and it's kind of the same thing with Fallout. Not maybe to the extent, but it's kind of what you were saying is by the end of it, I was just so goddamn overpowered, and I had like 99s on the stats I wanted to upgrade and everything like that. And by that point, you know, you're not even at the final boss yet.
You don't have to play the game like that, though. That's just because we wanted to do everything in one playthrough, which is a mistake.
That's because I've been trained to go and grind. Like, you go and grind XP.
Loot here.
And you keep going back to the same spot because that's where you're going to garner the most XP at. And That's a problem that's come from MMOs and a lot of Japanese RPGs, but
it's the anti-Japanese RPG
in a way,
which is what another reason I love it so much. It's an RPG to the core, but it takes that turn-based strategy and just throws it out the window with awesome combat that works really well.
Right,
play any way you want to play. It revolutionized gaming. I mean, you can say Oblivion and Morrowind, but I think Skyrim took the best out of those and created this awesome game that I cannot wait for the next gen title.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ditto.
I'm real excited about a lot of what Bethesda's doing. They've got Elder Scrolls MMO coming.
I'm actually not that excited about that.
Yeah, I'm probably going to pass on that.
It's still being
one of those games that looks cool. It's like Rise for the Xbox.
Right.
Well, that looks awesome, but it doesn't look fun at all. That's kind of the way.
So, and that's what I'm worried about with that is they're going to take a lot of elements of Skyrim and just make it multiplayer.
I think one of the strong points of Skyrim is that it's not multiplayer.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Pac-Man.
Which version?
Okay.
Any.
I'll take Pac-Man.
Okay,
I am secretly...
There should be an arcade game on somebody's list.
I am secretly phenomenal at Pac-Man. It's one of the first games I actually remember playing.
Have you ever kill-screened?
No. I've taken Collector's Edition DX to its limits.
Okay.
But I've never actually kill screened one of the arcade machines.
Mm-hmm.
We have friends who have stood there and watched me go for probably a more extended amount of time at bars than I should be standing in front of an arcade cabinet.
More bars need Pac-Man.
Just as a little plug to Columbus, there is a place called the 16-Bit Bar in Columbus.
Yes. Is that open now?
Yeah. It's got over 20 arcade cabinets, they're all free to play.
Yep.
Why aren't we there right now?
because we're doing this. So. Yeah,
this is a better fort.
It's downtown. It's not like in a nice, convenient area because it's right downtown.
Columbus is a real place.
It's got Captain America, the Avengers. It's got X-Men. It's got Turtles.
Simpsons?
It has got Simpsons.
Does it have Mortal Kombat?
Uh-huh. It's got at least one of them. I don't know if it has two. Man. I would guess that it has two. If it had Ultimate 3, I would probably just...
I'm going to shadow kick you so hard.
I'm going to uppercut you. I'm going to come over this.
That's
Johnny
one.
Cage you in the nuts.
Dude, Johnny Cage is my man.
But no, in all seriousness, I've played many variants of Pac-Man. I stayed away from a lot of like the platformy Pac-Man.
Yeah, the 3D one.
Then the 3D ones. Just because those never
was weird.
Those never really interested me. But just straight up Pac-Man, Pac-Man C, and Pac-Man C DX. Like, Mrs. Pac-Man. Yeah, I was getting there. Mrs. Pac-Man's a lot of the same thing. I mean,
with a bow.
With a bow. I don't think they changed the name of the ghosts. So. We'll call it pretty much the same thing.
I like that it's, Pinky, Blinky, Inky and Clyde.
And Clyde.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Damn you, Clyde.
Yep. So, I also remember growing up and watching being Saturday morning cartoon age and watching the Pac-Man cartoon.
Oh, wow.
God, there was a Pac-Man.
Wow.
It was terrible. terrible because it was just a bunch of. If I remember right, that's still on.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
I'm gonna have to go home and find that and watch it. But I just remember a lot of it being a lot of recycled scenes like they did with like the Super Mario cartoon and stuff. Mm-hmm. But which, oh my god, so
hey,
many
paisanos!
Wow, that's one of the better Captain Lou's I've heard in a while.
My favorite part of that, the entire intro was do the Mario, and then it's just like Lou, just kind of awkwardly.
Do.
I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yep. But Sergeant Slaughter was on that once.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. But I mean, you know, it's another one of those games where I love a game that'll make me think. I love an RPG. I love a game where, like Mass Effect, where I have to do so much reading and like. There's the investment in the
universe,
story, and the universe, and the characters. This is like Katamari to me. I can shut my brain off, and I'm this little yellow dude eating a bunch of pills, chasing after ghosts,
rolling your face off.
Yep.
It's a druggie hooked on pills, running from his hallucinations. And so it's like a pretty simple
until
concept.
Until he eats the super pill, and then he eats their faces.
Don't do meth.
All right, so
bath salts.
Oh yeah, I was like, I want it to be recut as like a modern version, and it's just like bath salts. And there's just like it's happening in winter, so there's just like a person wearing like a long coat, kind of looks like a ghost.
All right, so
we're to number one, I believe.
We're to number one for
number
all five one. Of us. This
number one.
This went quite a bit faster than I anticipated it going. So. Again, you know, just so everybody knows, these aren't the number one game of all time. These are just games that influenced us greatly.
Might be.
Well, I would like to think that all of our number one is probably up there at least. But, you know, we'll see. And
Dom's reading my notes.
Dom's writing things down on your notes. So, Matt,
my notes
number
really are
one
just
game
of
all time is...
I'm going to say it, Team Fortress 2. So I'm going to preface this and give you a bit of a story behind this. So I bought this game back when you had to buy it for $10 at a Circuit City, back when they were still open. And I've literally...
Circle jerks.
I've actually bought, 2 to 3 copies for my friends.
Yeah.
So I've actually bought my friends and invested them in this. And I have at least over 700 hours in that game. I have hats. I have badges.
Dude,
like,
I wish he was lying. I'm at around 3 to 4.
I really wanted you to say over 9,000. I know that's old, but
I could get there. Like if they still update the servers. I mean, gosh. I mean, I'm a huge FPS person. Like that's how I've always been raised from old PC gaming till now. And gosh, like the digital hats, like the witty item descriptions.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's
the
fine.
Characters.
Yeah, the characters.
The characters just, in general.
I'm sorry, I'm just lost in internet things, memories from 5 years ago.
I saw a T-shirt yesterday, and it was Shinzo O's or something like that, and it was just a picture of Goku, and it said it has over 9,000 ingredients or something like that. I was like, that's awesome.
I saw one. It was like.
It
was like one of those like the series of pictures, and it was one of them like talking to him in the bathroom, and it was just like, "Hey, how much toilet paper do you need?" And then it like cuts in. It's just like the close up of his face.
Over 9,000. Okay, so TF2, Matt.
Yeah,
he's pooping.
The best things about this game has been like they released updates for free, multiple updates. The Meet the Team videos, gosh, probably one of the funniest things you can see. They release all their tools to edit. The community actually gets paid for the levels that they make. They released all of the video tools as well. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, it's really the reason why I kind of play Steam just in general. And just.
What got me into Steam?
Yeah, I mean, like, your friends can play. We can talk about items, kind of like any action RPG. And it just keeps paying dividends for me. I mean, I spent $10 in this game, and it's the game I played the most of any other game. So, yeah.
I'm going to make an argument. I do not like that game.
I've tried.
I am not a TF2
fan.
I've
tried to get Charlie into TF2.
I do not.
So
I think
hard.
It plays like a brick. I think it's just not fun.
No, it's
like,
fine.
The game is just not fun to me.
In all fairness, I have to jack my sensitivity up.
Like that game, I think that game plays like an absolute brick. Like it's
fine.
Probably the worst gameplay I've ever played in a first-person shooter for me. Yeah. Like, don't like it.
No, that's fine. I mean, all this is of course like all our own opinions.
I like
mean,
Portal. I don't like Left 4 Dead too. I don't like that game either.
I don't hate Left 4 Dead, but I get. Tired of it, really.
I don't like that game
I mean,
either.
You and
I have talked
once,
about that.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of Valve games.
too. Yeah.
Fair. I mean, I love Valve. Like, I love what they do, and I love just like I love Steam. I love their attitude. Yeah. I love the like a lot of the games that they make. If I've never played it before, like I've never played TF2, but I've seen you play it. And if I had a gaming PC, I'd be playing it.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the reasons why.
I mean, it is a stiff game. It's a very stiffly controlled game. But in all fairness, like it's the humor in that game that makes up for that. And even like down to the art design. And while you're standing there as the Heavy firing off one of your guns, and he's just like, comments.
It does
the
a lot of things
make.
Well. Like, I just don't like the way it plays.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think some of that stiffness though is the fact that it's meant to be PC or?
I mean, it was on the
360 as well. Released with the Orange Box.
Well, yeah, I did play on that.
Basically, I mean, like a lot of PC games, you can talk about like issues with the twitchy controls and stuff, but all that stuff has always been controllable.
Right.
I mean, if you don't like something, you can. That's the advantage. Mm-hmm. That's like why PC gamers are like consider themselves like, you know,
the Uber gamer.
Yeah, yeah, it's because like they have more control. Like all like the game in the purest form is on the PC.
Take that as a compliment. Just a shrug and a grin.
The PC gamers I know, they all it's a self title.
Yeah,
I play both.
I prefer consoles.
That's fine.
I have both. I prefer consoles. I like playing with a controller. I'm terrible with keyboard or mouse.
Well, I mean, you can play. I mean, you've got the USB.
Yeah, I do, and that's how I play on my PC. But
I legitimately originally had TF2 on my list. Yeah. It wasn't my number one, but after some thought, I had to scrap that and put Rainbow Six on there, because if it wouldn't have been for Vegas, then I probably wouldn't have gotten into TF2.
Mm-hmm.
So
fair enough.
But Dominic, your number one game.
All right, it was going to happen eventually, but it's The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask.
Ah, there it is.
Never played it.
There it is.
Not many people have. Okay.
It's a shame.
I think a good amount of people still played Majora.
I think people in recent years have been playing it because...
Internet hype, man.
Yeah, several people have LP'd it in recent years, and they've kind of brought it. And I'm actually glad, because it's nice to see that game kind of gain recognition.
Do you remember who was in the commercials for that game?
I would guess Link.
No. John Cena?
No. Close. You're closer than Link was. The Hardy Boys were in the commercials for Majora's Mask. Yes, absolutely.
If there was a Jeff Hardy face paint mask
there
in
was
that
a,
game,
there was
oh
a,
my God.
A Matt and Jeff Hardy commercial for Majora's Mask. It was one of the WWE pay-per-views around the time was sponsored by. I'll have to find the commercial for you.
I mean, I don't remember many N64
commercials. If anybody listening to this can find the commercial for that prior to me finding it and want to post it in the links, feel free. But,
yeah, also, whoever finds that, you can probably also find the original Super Smash Brothers commercial.
Oh, yes,
where they're all
absolutely.
In costumes.
They're
playing like that 60s. Like,
I remember that
so,
one.
So Happy Together.
Yeah.
We were trying to convince our buddy that his his engagement pictures should have been taken with him as Donkey Kong and her as Pikachu skipping through.
No, well, it would have been
Eric. But
well,
whatever.
Well, no, it should have been Donkey Kong and Peach because they are actually about the exact same ratios.
Yeah.
No, Majora's Mask is. I know that Ocarina would be most people's N64 I talked about this with Pokemon, where I give it to the Breakout, even though I think some of the later games had better gameplay.
Right.
Majora's Mask got more kind of emotion out of me. I felt more with that game. And one of the things that I loved about it was this was pretty late. I mean, this was still – there was quite a few Zelda games that were out there. But it actually, in its era, there was almost as many games outside of Hyrule as there were games within Hyrule. Now it's vastly, like, most of the Zelda games have been in Hyrule, but I love the fact that it's somewhere else that's not in Hyrule. There's a bunch of weird, quirky things that happen in that universe, like there's a UFO, you have to fight off, like, a mini UFO invasion.
Weird.
Yeah, it's like at one of the ranches at
night.
It's
the bizarro Zelda, but it's amazing.
That's why it's like one of the things that's so cool about it is it's so different, but it still plays like a Zelda game.
Yeah.
The mechanic of
no motion control.
You don't need motion control. How about that? Like the mechanic of the day cycle, the 3-day cycle, it becomes oddly familiar. Like it's a little hard to deal with at first because you feel overwhelmed, but you need to concentrate on. Okay, I've got the Song of Time. I can just reset. And that's just, like, kind of just learn. Like, day one, I can do this. Day two. And then once you kind of learn, like, oh, it's funny, there goes the guy that's going to mug the old lady later on. Like, it's just funny to see those little things kind of, like, pop up and whatever. But the difference in the gameplay where you get to play basically as a Zora, you get to play as a Goron, mm-hmm. you get to play as a Deku Scrub, which is the first thing in the game. You're mm-hmm. stripped of everything. No Navi, no horse. You don't even get to be Link with a sword. You're a Deku Scrub. But, like, another thing that's really cool about that game is, like, even games today, like, have shit swimming control. But that game, as a Zora, had incredible swimming control. Yeah. It was so odd. Like, again, one of those weird games that nails it, like, right out of the gate. Even though that was really late in the system life.
I want to say, like, the GameCube was almost...
It was like, 99, 2000.
It was crowning
yeah.
almost.
Yeah.
It was close to that.
Yeah, because they even had a bunch of polygons.
It was right there with Conkers, yeah.
Like, because yeah. And another secret, or another thing that's funny about that game, not a lot of people know, is it had 6 bottles instead of 4. Everybody stopped at 4. It had 6 bottles. But a lot of
I didn't know that.
A lot, because you stop at 4 because you just assume.
I learned something today.
Yeah, it has 6 bottles, not
today
4.
Today I learned.
But it's just, it's so different. And the whole concept of the entire game is all about healing. Like, you just keep going to these different areas. And it's, again, it's pretty dark and pretty morbid. Like, there's all these characters that, like, a character dies and you take their face and then, like, you become that character. Like, that's what happens with the Zora. That's what happens with the Goron. Like, and I think that's, I can't remember if that's what happens with the Deku Scrub. It's been a while since I've played through it, but it's. The controls as those different races is so cool, and getting to do that, but still keeping it in that Hyrule mythology.
Well, you're racing the moon or whatever, like the moon's about to crash in Hyrule.
There's like this moon that's going to crash, and you need to awaken these giant spirits. And like the whole concept of like the relationship between the Skull Kid and the giants, and like that backstory, and like why they're gone, and like mm-hmm. Why the Skull Kid has the mask, and what made him into this like mean person to begin with? Because again, he's not really a villain. He's just kind of like a sad person that
misunderstood,
got corrupted by something because he was sad.
Is it a direct sequel to
yes,
Ocarina?
Because it's one of those games that has a lot to do with the timeline, what used to be timeline theories, but
oh yeah,
it basically shows that if you played through Twilight Princess. When you learn,
yes.
when you learn all those moves from that spirit,
yes.
that is the Link from Ocarina and Majora's Mask.
Because okay.
if you're a, and you learn this from Ocarina of Time, this little girl that tells you in the Lost Woods, if you're a Hylian and you die in the Lost Woods, you become a, what's the enemy called? The skeleton enemy that you fight?
Yeah.
Stalfos. You become a Stalfos if you die in the Lost Woods, and you're... Link must have gone through the Lost Woods, and he's searching for Navi, because that's what he's doing at the beginning of the game. And he just tries to find Navi his whole life, and he eventually dies in the Lost Woods. And so then he becomes this, and he has all the equipment from Majora's Mask. Like, he's got the mirror shield, he's got the gold sword.
You mean from Ocarina?
No, from Majora's Mask, okay. because Majora's Mask takes place after, and in Majora's Mask, you have a different kind of, you have a circular mirror shield,
okay.
and you have something... The sword that he has in Twilight Princess, it could be the mirror. It could be the gold sword, but it's, again, timeline bullshit.
Sure, sure.
Nintendo pretty much put an end mm-hmm. to, which is, that's stupid that they're like, we don't have a timeline. We don't have a timeline. Also, yeah, here's the timeline.
Whatever.
Here, by the
secret document
whatever.
Or something.
At least it was cool. It was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it was
it's a neat book.
The try timeline. Yeah. Who saw that coming? Yeah. It's like, how come nobody thought of that? Like, of course it had to be something with three.
Three,
but,
right.
Long diatribe aside, Majora's Mask.
Charlie, number one.
Number one. The whole reason I play video games, I'm assuming. The game that got me into gaming, the game I played the most, the first game I ever remember playing and beating, Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past.
My favorite Zelda game.
It's by far, I don't know why, it's probably not technically the best Zelda game, but like, I just remember chasing the damn chickens the entire, like, as a kid. Like
the
being
first chicken game.
Oh, yeah.
Being,
and you could steal, too.
Yeah, being mm-hmm. barely old enough to, like, be able to play the game and just spending hours getting killed by damn chickens.
Oh, yeah.
It's why I game. It's the first real memory I have, like, wow, gaming's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Is that game. I can still go back to today, and I remember pretty much every dungeon. Like, it's implanted in a part of my brain I didn't ruin during college. Like, it's still there.
Yeah, fuck Turtle Rock. Hate that dungeon.
There's shit that it's hard. It's still challenging. There's still like secrets. Like I'll find. I went through and played it again and found like throwing the sword into the fountain at the very end. You have to use the giant bomb, I guess, to get into.
Yeah.
Remember that? yeah, it's why I game today. It's the first game I ever remember playing. My first system was the SNES. That was the first game I ever had for it.
It's just one of those games where you can burn all that time. Like, mm-hmm. I love those. There's some of the upgrades in that game that aren't required. Like, a mm-hmm. lot of them that are, like...
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that they kind of got away from with the unrequired stuff. Like, so you don't have to get everything in that game.
The canes, like, some of the... Like, I know the canes are required, but there's things like you don't need to upgrade the shield. You don't mm-hmm. need to upgrade... This, like, there's, like, certain things that you can just, like, throw into that fairy fountain, and it's, like, you find that thing by accident, and then you throw things in by accident, and it's, like, it throws them back out at you most of the time, but every once in a while, it's just, like, oh, I can upgrade the boomerang? That's cool. Like,
I didn't know that. Yeah.
You didn't know that?
Well, I guess I did. I didn't know that at the time.
Oh, you mean, like, as a kid?
Yeah. Like, oh, dude, all I did in the game was fuck around and throw shit in the fairy fountains and chase chickens, but it was the best time of my damn life. Oh, the simpler times.
Yeah. Sounds like a Juggalo concert.
I just realized I didn't have any SNES games on my list.
Neither did I.
That's kind of weird.
I had to have one.
I know. I mean, oh, it's so hard because there's like, I mean, I really wanted to fit Sonic in there, but like.
They're really not even that fun to go back.
Sonic 1,
Did you ever
Sonic
play
2?
Sonic 4 on like the iOS or whatever?
Yeah, I have it.
I thought it was terrible.
Well, I mean, they only have two chapters of it out. They didn't even have the whole thing out.
I was like, I paid $4 for this? No.
I got it for free.
Are you guys ready?
No.
Nah. This should come as no surprise.
Oh, are you? Is it your number one?
Yeah, it's my number
are
one.
Are you really going to put it? Are you really going to put
I'm really
gonna seven?
Do it. Yep.
Is it seven?
It's Final Fantasy VII. So you guys can sigh all you want, man. I mean,
no, it's fine. I said Mario 3.
I grew up playing RPGs. Like, I watched my dad play Kid Icarus. I watched my dad play Dragon Quest and like the Final Fantasies and everything like that. And, you know, I started just kind of picking them up and screwing with them for a while. And I really never had much of a, like, basis on what I was actually doing in those games until Final Fantasy VII. The story in general was phenomenal. You know, one of my first experiences with that, like, what the fuck just happened moments was in that game. And, you know, you suddenly see Sephiroth descending from the sky with his sword and impaling Aerith with it. And, I mean, I'm sitting there as, like, a 12, 13-year-old kid, like, choked up, like, almost in tears. Like, you know, it was one of the first senses of, like, loss in a video game because I'd spent so much time. This was my healer.
Yeah, games like, used to make you – games used to make me cry. Mm-hmm.
Right? This was my – how was I going to beat the rest of the game? They just killed off my white mage. Yep. Like, and I know, like, I could have done whatever with her, but that was the person I had healing. It felt appropriate, you know? Like, this is the little girl with – well, not little girl. The girl with the basket of flowers at the beginning of the game. You know, so, and then there were all the rumors with it. You could bring Aerith back, you know, blah, blah, blah. I did everything you can imagine
again
to do that.
It's like those are the games when the
hours upon hours
and myths and the urban legends spun up around.
That was kind of
my favorite urban legend was the Naked Tomb Raider. I don't know if anybody else remembers that, but I spent hours trying to get that to
naked
work.
Naked Tomb Raider, Naked Samus.
It was the first was the first game. Final Fantasy VII was the first game where I actually like had to grind to get to the point where I could actually mm-hmm. beat the game, you know? Mm-hmm. And I've become obsessive compulsive about it since then. I have to be level 99 before I can beat the final boss, which unfortunately in games like Fable that doesn't work because then you one-shot them.
God, so, Peter Molyneux is the biggest piece of shit in gaming. I'm not afraid to say that.
I mean, leveling with that stuff. I actually remember when I was a kid, when I would play through Pokemon, I would try and beat the Elite Four with the lowest level possible, mm-hmm.
like a
test of strategy. And I was never able to get lower than like the 30s, but still, like they were in like the 60s. Like when you get to Lance, I guess Gary or whoever whatever you named your rival was, but yeah.
Even as a kid, I always named something inappropriate.
Yeah,
Dick Steals.
That's always like a funny thing with like the name your own character because like I know for a fact like Nintendo probably like plans out like mm-hmm. how many spaces they give you like otherwise like everybody's gonna be going on their adventure as like buttfuck Johansson.
All right, well that was fun. That was a good time. I'm glad we all got to sit here. I've got a couple games I want to go back through and play.
Yeah,
and try
yeah I've got a couple. So. I've got a couple. I need to go play now.
Yeah.
The problem is, I just got Rayman 2 for my Dreamcast. So
yeah.
Buy Killer7 and let me borrow it.
I want. See, it's that's like the thing. I don't have enough. I don't have enough game. I was an idiot when I was in college, and I sold all my GameCube games to a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And like now, I have to rebuild my library back up because I was like, why did I? Why? What was I thinking? Like,
yeah.
Because now I'm down to like 7 or 8 games. I think.
Yeah.
Well,
for GameCube.
I guess that that about does it for this week. We'll be back in 2 weeks, so that puts us at what?
On a fortnight.
A date.
A fortnight.
It'll be about a fortnight.
It'll be a random date in the.
I don't even know what today is, so let's just.
It's the 28th. I stuttered over that at the beginning of the show. Okay, so we will be back August 11th. It looks like.
And hopefully, I will have gotten through Pikmin by then.
I hope you guys get.
I hope Pikmin gets released by then.
No, it's. I don't know. I think they. I think
we'll be
I've
back
seen
August 11th
like,
to talk about how Nintendo's bumped Pikmin 3 back again.
If I swear to God, if that happens, I don't know.
We'll also be discussing Dominic's broken Wii U.
Console him.
I'm be right there with him, man.
So that's been our top 5 list. I guess you could call it the cream of the crop. And the next time we'll conclude our Meet the Team series with the cream of the crap. Gross.
Every time we say it, it's like, I keep thinking it's not going to sound weird.
Crop of the crap.
Poop jokes never get old, though.
I'm cool with poop jokes.
That's cool.
All right. Also,
and
just,
the cream of the crop, just to be clear, and that's our low 5.
Yeah,
so the cream of the crop is our high 5.
Our least favorite games of all time. Also, we just want to send a quick thank you to ericskiff.com and Eric Skiff himself. Never met the dude, but he provided us with free music. So our opening track and our closing track is provided by ericskiff.com. Go listen, you know, give him some thumbs up.
Listen, download. It's free to use.
Yeah.
Free to use in your games or anything you want to use.
Yeah.
It's under a Creative Commons license.
Go check that out. And we're going to close with our favorite song off of his album. So listen to this and go listen to Eric's Gift. We'll see you next time.
Thanks.
Peace.
Yep.